Welcome to the gathering, and tonight's lesson is living out of the new you identity. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are and your great love for us. And Lord, I thank you for each person that will be listening. Father, that you touch them, that you meet them right where they're at, that you reveal truth to just all of us, God. Because you're a God of truth. And teach us, Lord, and help us as we practice your word. Father, thank you that you're a God that doesn't require perfection. You just want us to partner with you in everyday life and let you lead us. And so help us to discover the new life that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, so many these days get their identity from their job, their occupation, their accomplishments, their kids, their spouse. And what I find is that there's many, and even many in the body of Christ, that don't really understand their identity and who they really are. And when this first hit me, I think 1993, and I had been a Christian since I was 10. So I grew up in a great church and learned the Bible and had parents that taught me and all. But my late husband and I had just sold our business. I had a gymnastics school here in town, and we walked out of the courthouse right down the block, and all of a sudden I stopped. And he said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Oh, my word, I just sold my name." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Everybody knows me as Kathleen Maxwell, gymnastics, etc. And I just sold my name. Who am I?" And he said, "Oh, crazy woman, get in the car." He said, "They call me Mr. Kathleen." And I taught children, young children, and some of you, your kids. I taught your kids. Lisa and taught some of her kids and others. And so anyway, what that did though is it really showed me that I did not know who I was as a woman in her mid-30s. And it began a journey as I asked God, "Who am I really? Who have you created me to be? And what does that look like?" And the first things the Lord told me is he said, "You can't get your identity in your job, in your husband, or your kids. Because they could all be gone." And little did I know that my late husband was going to pass away not too long after that. It was a little bit. But God was very gracious in beginning to teach me who I was in him and how he saw me. And one night I had a dream, and this was in this early time when I was discovering who I was. But in the dream, I was going around to people, and I was putting my hand on their shoulder, and I was saying, "Wake up, you've got to wake up, you've got to understand who you are." And then I'd move to the next person, and I would do the same thing, "Wake up, you've got to wake up." And little did I know that on down through the years, the Lord was going to give me a message to share with many people. So as we get ready to talk about identity tonight and who we are, the first key that I want you to understand, and this is going to be one of the blanks, if you're taking notes, you can fill in. The first key to understanding our identity is understanding how much we are loved. We are loved by God simply because he created us. How many of you are parents or grandparents here? Do you remember when you saw that baby for the first time? Just how you automatically identified and loved it? I was 21 when my firstborn was born, and I remember being in Sid Peterson Hospital, and they brought him in later that evening for me to feed. And I remember looking at him, and I was so sobered by, oh my word, this child is dependent on me. But there was also this overwhelming love for him, this creature that I didn't even know. I didn't know his personality yet. I didn't know anything about him. But I just looked at him, and he had red hair. I've got 2 6-foot-4 redheaded sons. And here he was, this baby, but there was this overwhelming love. And that's the way God looks at each of us. I think so many of us, and I was in that trap of trying to perform to earn credit or earn God's love, and not understanding for years how it was he just loved me because he created me and he wanted me to discover who I was. And I think that one of the blocks that I discovered, and I fully believed as a Christian that God loved other people. I really did. I had no problem with that. I could tell people that. But I came face to face in my mid-30s with, does he really love me? Does he really love me? And I know that may sound funny for a girl that grew up in the church, but I'm just being honest with you. And I think what had hindered me was some of the hurts from understanding his love was hurts from people, believing what some people said versus what God said. And the beauty is God began to unravel those lies one at a time, because we can tell ourselves lies. We can believe the lies that other people tell us at times. And there's in the Bible, we have an opportunity to discover exactly what God says about us. You are dearly loved, not for your good behavior or your bad behavior, but simply because you're his child. His child. He created you and he said, this is good. You're not a mistake. And see, for a lot of my life, and that's in a whole nother lesson, but until my mid-30s, I didn't like the way God made me, and I was always trying to be like somebody else. And as God began to show me that he made me, how he made me, it began to unravel those lies, and I quit trying to be like other women that I was never going to be like. God creates us uniquely different. He creates us with different talents. Debbie Rideout, who was my assistant at the Christian Women's Job Corps for years and has been a dear friend in that time, we are very different in a lot of ways, but she has gifts I need. She has talents I need in organization and things. And we were a great team because both of us were really secure. She wasn't trying to be like me. She didn't want to be like me. I knew I couldn't be like her. I mean, she's wonderful and everything. She really is, but I knew she had a skill set that I needed, so that's why she's on the team. And so my prayer tonight is that each one of us would understand and have another level of understanding how much God loves us and who we are. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:3. And if you've been here before, you've heard this passage. It is one of my life passages. One of my favorites. But it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will rebuild you again, and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance and be joyful. And when I first read that scripture, a little girl came running in when I was coaching gymnastics and handed me this Valentine that she had made, and it had this scripture on it. And I went home that night and looked it up because I didn't recognize it. but it was a big heart, and she said, I made it for you. And little did I know what was related to the passage, but it became just something that was a revelation to me that he loved me and he had been drawing me to a deeper walk. And then this scripture became even more powerful, and I have a promise written down. And I have, the date I have in my Bible is 6/15/10. And it was when I was a widow at 49, and my life had kind of, I was trying to figure out who am I now without my husband of 30 years. And this promise that God would rebuild me, if you're a widow or if you're in a broken place in your life, this is a promise for you tonight. I challenge you to take it home and process it further. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, and you'll have joy. So God has his way of drawing us and running so we can run to him and partner. And so I have to ask you tonight, do you see yourself as someone dearly loved by God? The Bible goes on to tell us that he calls us the beloved, and there are plenty of scriptures on that. And maybe you need to be honest with somebody and say, you know, I really do feel like God loves the world, but I'm just not sure about me. And that was the first step. When I just admitted it, that's oftentimes the first step, is just be honest with yourself. And if you have someone close you trust, or honest with them, and invite and ask God to really give you a revelation of his love for you. See, he wants relationship with us. And that's provided through Jesus. John 3:16. Some of you have probably heard it. God so loved the world. But I want to personalize it. God so loved Young. God so loved Pablo. God so loved Verna that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the invitation that we all have. And if you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, it's not that complicated. And we'd be happy, any of the team would be happy to pray with you. I'd be happy to pray with you. And then there's a little more about it in there in your homework too. But God wants us to have that personal relationship with him. The second key in understanding our identity is that you're chosen. You know, there's something powerful about being chosen. Think back to when you were a child. Maybe played kickball, maybe played basketball, whatever you played. Wasn't there something about when they chose you to be on their team? How special it made you feel. Or how less than it made you feel if you were the last one chosen. You're chosen by God. You're chosen, and there's power in that. And maybe you don't feel like you belong in certain situations. Have you ever been in situations where you say, I just don't feel like I belong? Now, sometimes that can be a good thing because we've outgrown something and God's moving us to a new place. But sometimes those can just be feelings that are like baggage that we just haul around. We never feel like we belong. And God wants you to know tonight that you belong. Your life matters. He's got his hand on your life. It's not over. It might be in pieces, but I promise you, I'm living proof that he can put you back together again. He's got a design and a good plan in all of that. John 15:16. And I'm going to read this from the Message. I've got several passages, and I normally, when I'm studying, I look at different translations, and normally I will be speaking and using scriptures from the New International Version, but I want to read it to you from the Message. And it says, you didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. And the first part of that passage is, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And there's also a scripture in 1 John that talks about that too. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But that's another powerful, powerful passage of how he chose us. He handpicked us. You know, when I go grocery shopping, a lot of times I don't get things in bulk. I like to pick my tomato and pick my lemons because I want to handpick them. I don't want just a whole bag because I might get something that's rotten. And that's the way God is with us. He looks down and he handpicks us and says, I've got my hand on your life. I choose you. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14. And I'm going to read this from the message also. It says, meanwhile, we've got our hands full continually, thanking God for you, our good friends, so loved by God. God picked you out as his from the very start. Think of it. Included in God's original plan of salvation by the bond of faith and in the living truth, this is the life of the Spirit he invited you to through the message we deliver, in which you get in and get the glory of our Master Jesus Christ. It says, so friends, take a firm stand, feet on the ground and head held high. Keep a tight grip on what you were taught, whether in your personal conversation or by this letter. May Jesus himself and God our Father, who reached out in love and surprised you with gifts of unending help and confidence, put a fresh heart in you and invigorate your work and enliven your speech. And I love it in the message. I just think it's just so very practical. It says, so friends, take a firm stand. I'm going to say, so friends, take a firm stand. Wake up to who you are. Wake up that you're chosen and that you're loved and that God's hand's on your life and he wants to be a part of your life. And when we begin to really understand this new life, it changes how we look at ourselves. It changes how we look at others. We see their potential, and it changes our speech. When we understand who we are in Christ in the new life, it changes how we talk about ourselves. Maybe you have negative talk. You talk negative about yourself. Oh, I can't do that, or I'll never be able to do that. Or I'm so not that, or I could never accomplish that. And when we partner with God and understand our identity, then, and that we're not called to some of the things we used to do in our old life. He calls us up. See, the beauty of God is he doesn't call us out and say, oh my gosh, you messed up, Tracy. He calls us up and says, Tracy, I got a new life here. This is what I'm giving you. This is what you get to walk in. You know, it's like going back to an old beat up car when God has given you a brand new one to drive. Oh no, but I'm going to go in this one. Well, the transmission's out. You know, you ought to come in this one. It's fixed. Do you get the analogy? I think one of the articles might have something about that in there. I know I've written an article on it. But this is your new life, and we're going to talk about it. Romans 6, verse 4. If you have your Bibles, it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. I didn't make this stuff up, y'all. It's right here in the Bible. We have a new life. And I didn't really realize that. I was always trying to correct my behavior versus living in the new me that God had created me to be. And that car analogy is, why would you, if you had an old car, why wouldn't you drive the one that's upgraded? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? I'm going to read a passage, and this is again from the Message in Colossians 3. And Colossians 3 is in your homework if you choose to do it. It says, so if you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Set your mind on things that please Christ. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, is in Christ. He is your life. You've got a new life, a new opportunity. I think the problem that many people have, I was one of them, and I still practice in changing. But too many times we try to change our behavior instead of living out of who God says that we are. You know, for example, I remember when God started, I used to be pretty hot-headed. I mean, I could fly off. Didn't take me long. And there was some issue with anger. I had some anger issues. And the real root of that was unforgiveness. And God began to show me that anger could be like a red flag. And when I found myself angry, to step back and say one of two things. What am I afraid of? Or who do I need to forgive? I think I've shared this story before, but my little girl was about 4 or 5 years old, and I had put her milk down. I was feeding her lunch, and she spilled her milk. And I turned around and yelled at her, and I said, Mallory Kathleen Maxwell, why did you do that? And she immediately burst into tears. She's just one of those kids, that's about all you have to do, and she's repentant, you know. I'm so sorry, Mommy. And I walked back to the kitchen to wash dishes, and I thought, why did I do that? I mean, it was spilt milk. It took me, 15 seconds to clean it up? And the Lord said, because you're mad. And you're angry at your husband. So I thought for a minute, and I thought, yeah, I really am. And I had the choice right then and there to choose to forgive him and move forward. See, the issue wasn't the spilt milk. My mind and heart was harboring something that I needed to forgive him. So forgiveness can be a powerful, powerful tool for us. And if you find yourself, and maybe you get angry, just stop. Don't beat yourself up. You know, what would happen is I would make a mistake like that, and then I would beat myself up. I'd feel bad. I'd feel, horrible. How could I do that? Versus, okay, my old life was anger. My new life is peace and joy. And that's what I get. Each one of us has a choice in every situation and how we're going to respond. You can respond in that old life, the anger, frustration, or you can respond in the new life, which is peace and joy. And saying, God, I may not understand this. I may not have liked it. What happened was wrong. No doubt some of you have really been wronged in your life, and it hurt, and it cost you. And I don't want to minimize that in any capacity. But God has a better way. And when we receive his forgiveness, we have that opportunity to forgive others and live in the new life and who he created us to be. You know, I think that oftentimes there may be people here that are in have been in abusive situations, and you've had someone step on your dignity, step on your value, make fun of you in some capacity. And when that happens, we can feel like something's wrong with us, and we spend our days, our weeks feeling like a failure, a bad person. And sometimes when we forgive, when we make a mistake, we need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves because we're all going to mess up. But God is there, not shaming us, not putting us down, but picking us up and say, come on, Kathleen, that's not who you're called to be. This is who I have you to be. Go walk in it. Let's get back up. Dust yourself off. Forgive yourself and get back in the race. So if you're beating yourself up about things you did in the past, or maybe you've believed the lies that someone that wasn't acting with the heart of God said to you, quit believing the lie. Because when you believe a lie, you empower the liar, which can either be Satan, can be a person, or if you're believing a lie, which I have believed many lies about myself, and God began to unravel them. Because the truth sets us free. So, back to Colossians 3. I got off on a bunny trail, but I think it was good. Somebody needed to hear it, I guess. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Anger, attitude, unforgiveness don't look good on you anymore. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. You have been chosen by God for this new life. Dress in the wardrobe picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, quick to forgive offenses. That looks good on you. Forgive as quickly and completely as Jesus forgave you. Forgiveness is your key to freedom. Regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. And if the enemy comes against you and tries to put those garments back on you, take them off. Oftentimes, situations in life can show us that our understanding of our identity is too small. Some of you are here tonight because God wants to upgrade your identity. He wants to give you a new set of eyes to see yourself for what He's calling you to next. Sometimes we limit our vision and our sphere, and we limit our own selves. Oh, I could never do that. Or I've never done that. You know, fear held me back in a lot of ways in my life. I didn't want to fail. I had a huge fear of failure. And it was something that kept me from stepping out into my God-given destiny. And I even had to wrestle with it as this was launching. Last year, I would send recordings personally to people, and that worked the first time. And then the next semester, it became more difficult to get it all out. And I had a number of people that said, why don't you do a podcast? Why don't you do a podcast? Well, I don't do that. You know, I don't know. That's putting my life out there. You know, I'm not real sure about that. And finally, I had one of the team members, I was having dinner with her, and she said, well, you speak and you don't mind sharing. And she said, well, you might be worried that a few people may not like it, but what about all the people you can help? And I realized right then it was fear. And I had a choice. What was I going to do? And so I began to step out and, you know, got a young person to kind of help me get my podcast going. And so it's not perfect. It's a work in progress, but it is out there. And so what God was trying to show me is He needed me to see myself in a whole different capacity. because I saw myself here. This isn't just for me. This is for some of you. He's calling you to step out in these days of your comfort zone and walk on water. He's calling you to step beyond what you thought you could do. There's some of you that you're going to be teaching. You're going to be teaching things like I'm teaching. God's calling you up. This may be your season of preparation. But God does exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. And every one of you that know Jesus, His call is on your life. And if you are a pre-Christian, well, that's awesome too, because you have an opportunity to get to know Him and the joy of a new life with Him. God's perspective, and this is, I believe, in your notes to fill out, God's perspective brings new thinking and language about ourselves. You have a new life. You know, our new man is not tossed to and fro by circumstances or a negative, but sees your new man in Christ, sees it, okay, I get to partner with God. Who am I going to become in this adversity that I'm in right now? Who am I going to become in this? And when some of you have heard parts of this, but my mom had a rare autoimmune disease and was very sick, and I was her caregiver, managed it for 9 years. And then my late husband got a very rare cancer, and he was gone in 9 months. And when I sat there in the ashes of my life, and I felt like my life was over, one of the things I cried out and prayed was, God, I know I'm not exempt as a Christian from going through hard times, but I don't want to waste this pain. I don't like wasting time. If I've got to go through it, I want you to work things in me and out of me. And I challenge you, in whatever circumstance you're in, whatever is like the ashes of your life, that you look to God and say, I don't want to waste this pain. Work things in me and work things out of me. Conform me to your image. Help me to wake up to how you see me, because His view is much bigger than our view. And we're not alone. You know, Gideon, there's several people and characters in the Bible, Gideon and Moses, both had these crises. You know, if you read in Judges 6:12, Gideon is over there. You know, they're in a battle, and Gideon's over there hiding under a tree. I mean, he's like scared. I mean, he's hiding under, it says, an oak tree. I mean, I don't know, maybe he was here in Kerrville. Probably not, but anyway. No, he wasn't here in Kerrville, but it was an oak tree. I was like, that's kind of cool. We have those here. And God calls him, and He says, Gideon, wake up, oh mighty warrior. Oh mighty warrior. See, God saw Gideon as someone that He needed to lead His people to victory. Gideon was over there coddling his fears, his insecurities, maybe what his daddy had told him. I don't know. We all have those things, those hurts that, do you see what I'm saying? That we can believe. And here's Gideon doing that. Moses is another great example. Moses, you know, Moses killed somebody. It's in the Bible. He did. And yet God called Moses. He appeared to him and said, hey, buddy, I want you to lead my people through to the promised land. And Moses, you know, he's like, what? Me? You know, I messed up. I did this. He tries to argue with God. You know, he tries to, but God saw him as someone that was handpicked for a special job to lead a people. And he did. And God has things like that for you and me to do. Folks, this world isn't getting better if you haven't noticed. It's just not. And I think God is raising up a people from different denominations, from different spheres in your work, from different areas, of different races, of different colors, to partner with Him for what He's going to do in these last days. I want to tell you a story. about a woman that 10 years ago when I was, actually it was 2006, when I was at Christian Women's Job Corps, I began teaching women. It's an organization that works with women that are overcoming adversity and need skills in the job market, as well as computer skills and life development. And that's when God began to give me the message, wake up to who you are in understanding our identity and values. So I'm teaching this to the women that I had there. And there was this one woman that when I began talking about how dearly loved we are and that our past does not matter, that God forgives and we can have a new life with Him, she began to cry. And after I left in the room, went to my office, she came into my office. She said, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Yes, you can." And she said, "You said I could tell you anything and you wouldn't judge me." And I said, "That's true." And she said, "You know, I've had to run away because I'm escaping an abusive relationship." And I said, "Yes." And she said, "And there's more." I said, "Okay." She said, "What I've been doing the last number of years, I don't remember the number exactly, is," she said, "I danced in nightclubs," and she was very attractive and pretty. And she said, "I don't want to go back to that life anymore." That woman bought in to a new identity, bought in to that God loved her, bought in to that she was chosen, because she didn't have anything else. And she went through the program, and at the end of the semester, she came in, and she had this silver shoe. And I mean, these heels were like this high with a platform like this. I thought, I don't think I could stand, much less dance in those. And she said, "This is what I danced in." She said, "These were $150 shoes." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "I don't ever want to wear them again. I don't ever want to go back." And she said, "Do you have scissors?" I said, "I do." Got my scissors out, and she said, "I want to cut the strap so I never put these shoes on again." And she did. Fast forward to 4 days ago. I hadn't even gotten to tell you this, Debbie. 4 days ago. And I've had a lot going on in different areas. And I had asked the Lord, I'd shot up one of these arrow prayers. I said, "God, I just need you to encourage me today. I just need some encouragement." I get this email, and it says, I thought it was spam. It said some letters and a number, and it said silver shoe. Like, silver shoe. And I was about to hit delete, and I saw under that, "Miss Kathleen, I've been trying to find you, and there are things I want to share with you. Here is my phone number. Give me a call." And she signed her name. And I knew that I knew her. I knew the name, but I was having a hard time placing the name with the face. I had 187 women that graduated from the job course, so I'm trying to put a name with a face. And about an hour later, it hit me. And I picked up the phone, and I called her. And she said, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe that you called. I can't wait to tell you. I can't wait to tell you. What I learned, had you and Miss Debbie not given me a chance, I wouldn't be where I am now." She said, "I want you to know, since I graduated in 2006, I have been serving the Lord. I have been in church. I have taught my daughter. My daughter goes to church. Her family goes to church." And she said, "I'm so grateful because my life would have looked so different had you not shared that message." That woman took that and she believed it, and it changed her life. And that's the very thing for each one of us that God offers to us, is identify with me and who you are and who I say. So one of the things Neat story. I just wept. I just wept. We had a conversation for about 45 minutes, and it was just a precious, precious conversation. And I was so glad to hear where she is down the road, 13 years later. One of the things in my own life that I have done is develop identity statements. And this was something I learned in a study I did years ago with Graham Cook. And an identity statement is foremost, first and foremost, how God sees us in Christ. And secondly, how He uniquely created us and we're wonderfully different. It's coming into agreement with what God says. And we can enjoy the process of becoming. You know, Jesus, who knew who he was, and he proclaimed it. He shared his identity with others. Now, he shared it sometimes with just close people. But Jesus said in Mark 8, 29 and 30, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And then Jesus said something. He warned him. He said, "But don't tell anyone right now," because he knew what was about to happen in his life. But Jesus shared that, and he shared it. And these identity statements that we're going to just talk about, the process of them and the value, I'll tell you where my identity statements have been helpful is they've been helpful in keeping me grounded in difficult situations in my life. They've been helped me with being focused in what I'm called to do. They've helped me in knowing what God wants me to do in a particular situation. One of my identity statements, before I jump into how we develop them, but is I'm overflowing with grace, gratitude, gentleness, humility, and love. And I was in a situation at work a number of years ago, and I was out of town working, and the woman I was dealing with was extremely difficult, extremely challenging. And here I had a job to go up and teach her some things, and she didn't want to learn, you know. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, and we were having to put on a big event. And I went home that night, and I thought, oh Lord, what am I going to do? And who do you want me to be in this? And the Lord reminded me of one of my identity statements. And he said, but remember, you're overflowing with grace, gratitude, gentleness, humility, and love. So the next morning when I walked into that office, I reminded myself, I am overflowing. I am overflowing. I don't know where it is. I got to find it, because I'd just as soon leave it back somewhere else and have 5 minutes in the flesh. But I knew that wasn't God's heart. And that was, do you see how I used it in an adverse situation? Knowing who we are is critical. It's coming into alignment with God. So how did I develop these? Because these are things I'm becoming. Not all of these have been realized. And I've got a two-page list now that are important to me. And you know what? They're what I pull out on the tough days. Now, this is who you've said that I am. And so one of the ways I developed was having time to just sit and be with God. You know, I think for so many years I'd studied. I'd tried to do. And God brought me to a place in my life where He said, I just want you to learn to be with me. You don't have to say a whole bunch of prayers. You don't have to do a whole bunch of things. And one summer He said, and it was when I was going through so much with my mom, we were doing a capital campaign. You know, I felt stretched in so many ways. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to study this summer to refill? And He said, I don't want you to study. I want you to be. I want you to learn to sit still and listen. And I wanted to say, but wait a minute, I'm a type A personality. That doesn't really work well. The Lord's like, yeah, but it's important to learn to listen. And so quiet time alone with the Lord. And if this is new for you, start with 5 minutes. Don't start with the whole bunch. Just some time to just, Lord, I'm here. One of the things I do most mornings, my quiet time, is I love to just have my coffee and just sit there with the Lord for a few minutes and just say, Lord, I love you. And I'm here. And I open my heart. Come fill me. Let me hear you. Speak to me. And sometimes he speaks through his word. Sometimes it's that still small voice. Sometimes it's through another person. They'll say something and it's like an aha moment. And it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Another way to develop these is, we're going to talk more about this next week, but is the character of God, learning who God is. The Bible tells us in Exodus, he's kind, he's gracious, he's loving, he's slow to, he's rich in love and slow in anger. Those characteristics are in God, and guess what? As his children, that DNA is in us. And God is wanting those things to rise up in us, in our marriage, in our workplace, in our churches. Wherever we go, those are the things he wants us to rise up in. In those characteristics that are like him, that's where I'm overflowing with grace, gratitude, gentleness, humility, and love. Every day, that's not me. That man back there can tell you. There are some of those days that are more challenging. But those are the days I try to remind myself, okay, I'm overflowing because this is what God showed me one day. He said, no, this is how I see you. I'm becoming. And here's one thing. If you don't learn anything tonight, we are all practicing. We're all practicing a new life. We're all practicing being like Jesus. It's practice, and practice takes perfect. None of you stood up one day and took off running. You stumbled. You fell. You had to get back up. I've got a granddaughter right now that is 13 months, not even 13 months, and she's just learning to walk. Well, she falls right now more than she walks, but she gets back up and she toddles again. And his grandmother, it's just the cutest thing. You know, it's so cute. We don't scold her when she falls down. And that's what God has for you and me on a daily basis. Maybe you struggle with foul language. Maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe you struggle with pornography. Maybe you struggle with whatever. God's saying, I'm calling you up. I'm calling you up. I'm not calling you out, I'm calling you up. That's not who you are. You can't do those things. You can't say those things. Partner with me. You just need some more purity in your life. That's what God has to offer. It's purity. It's not shame. Reading scripture can help you develop your identity statements. You know, as I would read different people, I would identify with them. Sometimes I'd really identify with Peter. You know, he just had some zeal. He had some go get him. You know, but there's some things he needed to learn. I was like, yeah, that's me. That's me. So, you know, studying scripture can show us. But ask God in different situations, especially things that are challenging for you, and that you feel God's saying, you need to develop in this. You know, you're not doing bad, but you need a little bit more of my gentleness, of my love, of my forgiveness, of my kindness. That's the character of God. And so maybe one of your identity statements can be about that. You know, one of my statements, I had just several people within like 1 week say, you're such an encouragement. You're such an encourager. And I heard that word over and over. And then I felt the Lord said, that's how I see you. Let's write an identity statement about being an encourager. Because we all have different gifts and talents. Another one of my identity statements, and I've written some of these in for you to process. We're going to wrap this up. I am a woman. This was the very first one that I received, but it's been the one that's kind of governed my life. I am a woman of significance and influence, called to bring the supernatural power of God into broken lives. I am a bold daughter of the King of Kings, establishing my Father's kingdom on earth. And then one recently he gave me, and that's a whole nother story, but I'm a woman of influence climbing mountains to proclaim freedom, peace, and God's love. The benefits of understanding our identity is they give us something solid to walk on in the tough days. Understanding your identity is crucial in times of adversity. And when you remember who you are, you walk in possibilities, not problems. Identity can help elevate you. And I challenge you to go home this week and ask God, who do you say I am? Who do you want me to become? Help me to get back up where life circumstances may have knocked you down. Ask God to help you get back up, dust yourself off, and discover who He's called you to be. There's a book that I've read recently, or am reading, by Alison Bowen, and it's called The Image. And here's a quote that I took from her book. Our response to situations is based in identity, God's, ours, and seeing true identity of others. Our responses are choices, no matter what is occurring, and we are responsible for the choices we make. And your identity statements can give you confidence when God calls you to do something that you feel like, oh, I feel like I'm stepping out on water. I think I'd rather walk on water than do, God, what you're asking me to do. And those statements can help hold you up. You know, I'm taking a class here in the Croc, and this hit me the other day in my kickboxing class. My kickboxing instructor came in a while ago, and she couldn't make it. But one of the things they tell us in this class is, and we're not kicking people or anything. It's more, you know, to music. But they always tell us to guard our face, you know. And so all of our little moves, you know, you've got this going on. And it hit me one day, I was like, guard our face. And it hit me, well, a face is how you identify somebody. It's part of your identity. If somebody came in and chopped off all of our heads right now, it'd be hard to tell what body went with, you know, with whom. It'd be hard to tell. Your identity can guard you. When you know who you are, something can rise up in you. And yeah, something might knock you down, might hurt your feelings. Adversity might hit, but your identity can protect you. You're people with purpose, and God has a call on your life and wants you to share His love with others. He wants you to be His light, and you are all people of destiny. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, for truth, and I just pray for each one as they leave this evening that they would go home and talk to you about these things, and that you'd be so tangible and so real to each one in showing them who you've called them to be, and help them in embracing your truth, in practicing your word, and in writing their identity statements. Thank you that you're such a fun, loving God, and you love us, your kids. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.